Scripture reading is taken from the book of Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Elliot, for reading this morning's scripture for us. Good morning, everyone. I'm James, an associate minister of Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. Now, last week, Pastor Serene preached on Psalm 104 for us. Psalm 104 is 35 verses long. In contrast, for today, Psalm 100 is only 5 verses long. But make no mistake, although Psalm 100 seems very short, like chili padi, you know, it packs a punch. Now, Psalm 100 is a short entry psalm, hymn, sung by worshippers as they prepare to enter the temple sanctuary to offer their praise to God. The structure of the psalm is quite simple, only 5 verses. Huh? Verses 1 to 2 and 4 are the call to praise. Verses 3 and 5 provide the reasons for praise. Notice the exuberance, enthusiasm, and jubilation expressed in the psalm, and a great attempt from our scripture reader today, Elliot. Yet most scholars have suggested that Psalm 100 is an important part of the collection of psalms for the Israelite post-exilic community. Now, the Israelites had just returned from exile in Persia. Life was very hard. They had rebuilt the temple and the Jerusalem city walls. But the rebuilt temple was much smaller, far less majestic than the first one that was built by King Solomon. Not only that, Israel was often ruled and oppressed by foreign rulers. First, the Persians, followed by the Greeks and the Romans. Yet amidst the troubles faced by them, they could still praise God with gusto. Now we too live in a troubled and suffering world. The COVID-19 pandemic that started way back in 2020 had just eased this year, seems like very long ago, when Singapore reverted to DOSCON green, and it happened only in February. 2021 ushered in the Myanmar military coup. The next year, 2022, saw the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And not too long ago, on 7th October, just last month, we saw the Israel-Hamas conflict erupt in Gaza. The climate crisis has also created heat waves, resulting in one of the worst Australian forest fires. It lasted 6 months, from September 2019 to March 2020. Not forgetting the widespread floods, such as the one in Pakistan last year and in North India this year, it has resulted in a total of 1,800 deaths and billions of dollars in damages and economic losses. Shortages in agricultural products and other goods have led to rising inflation. Gone are the days of the 250 Chai Fan and 120 Kopi. In fact, Talking Point of Mediacorp 5 even had a recent episode entitled, "Why is my economic rice so expensive?" Now, as I meditated on Psalm 100 in preparation for today's sermon, I struggled with the following questions. How to praise God with jubilation? how to praise God amidst the troubles of this world, amidst the troubles of our life. What can this psalm teach us about praising God? Let us go to God in prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Teach us how to praise you with gusto and with understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, what does Psalm 100 tell us to do? Simple. Praise the Lord. Psalm 100 uses seven commands in verses 1 to 4 to call us to praise God. They include terms such as shout or make a joyful noise, serve, come, know, enter, give thanks, and finally, bless. Now, for now, I will just focus on one command, so many of them, serve the Lord with gladness. Now, the verb serve in the original Hebrew can refer to any kind of work, but in a religious context, it refers to worship. Thus, it refers to worship as spiritual service, such as participating in congregational worship in the sanctuary of the temple in ancient Israel. Now, the priests and Levites, they serve the Lord by offering sacrifices. They read scripture. They play musical instruments. They sing, and they lead the congregation in worship. How about the worshipers? They serve the Lord by participating in worship. Similarly, in our worship service today, there are many people serving the Lord. The PA crew, the worship chairman, the song leader, singers, musicians, scripture reader, ushers, and so on. You too, my brothers and sisters in Christ, are also serving the Lord as you participate in worship. However, the verb serve also leaves no gap between our worship on Sunday and our work in a weekday. Our congregational worship on Sunday should flow naturally into us serving God in our studies, in our jobs, and even in our housework. And serving God during the week should culminate in worshiping God as a community on Sunday. Recently, I watched a movie. I heard a priest said something to the same effect. The priest said, "I work for the French king, but I serve God." We may work for ABC Company, but we are truly serving the Lord. Now, Psalm 100 exhorts us to serve the Lord with gladness. There must be a heartfelt response to the Lord's greatness and His goodness, and that response will be shown in our joyful service. I will talk more about this aspect of joy later. Now, Paul reminds us of the same thing in Colossians chapter 3 and in 1 Corinthians 10. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of the Lord, of God. Now, the question facing us today is joy a hallmark of our service to the Lord, be it in our congregational worship this morning, or in whatever we do in the week? Second part of today's sermon, how should we praise God? With gusto, exuberance, and jubilation. I hope I communicate the feeling well. Now, the psalmist expresses the enthusiastic way we should worship the Lord with various words. They include joy, make a joyful noise to the Lord, come into His presence with joyful singing, gladness, serve the Lord with gladness, thanksgiving, enter His gates with thanksgiving, and praise, and His courts with praise. Now, Old Testament scholar Rolf Jacobson has highlighted that joy in Psalm 100 is not a prerequisite for those who want to come into God's presence. We don't need to have joy or to have be joyful in order to come into God's presence to worship Him. Rather, joy wells up from within us. Joy is an outflow of our communion with God. The Lord draws joy out of us when we are gripped by His presence, when we encounter Him in worship. The thanklessness, the negativity, and the hopelessness of the world are transformed by the redemptive power of God's presence. Joy is not a requirement of us as worshippers. It is a fruit of the Spirit within us. Nevertheless, how do we get ourselves ready to come into God's presence as a community? How can we prepare ourselves to meet God together, to experience, to express this sense of joy and exuberance in praising God? Especially as Asians, we are generally quite reserved and not so expressive. Now, let me suggest three pointers using the acronym ERP. It's not electronic road pricing, but expect, remember, and prepare. E, expect. Notice that in the call to worship in verses 1, 2, and 4, the object of our worship is the Lord. We direct all our praise to no one else but God. Now, if the object of our praise is the Lord, if we are coming into God's presence during worship service, do we have that sense of anticipation, the expectation to meet God in worship? Now, for example, there's great sense of excitement when we are in a concert of our favorite pop idol. The atmosphere is simply electrifying. I don't know, even if I watch on TV, I can sense it. People are waving their handphones. They lift banners with the idol's name or picture. Now, whenever there's any movement on stage, shouting erupts as everyone waits in great anticipation for the pop idol's appearance. Now, how about the deep sense of anticipation when you are going to Japan or maybe to the US for a vacation? We mark the date on our calendar. We buy travel insurance. We monitor the exchange rate to get the best rate. We start packing our luggage days or even weeks before the trip. If that's not all, we arrive at the airport 3 hours earlier to check in, just afraid we may miss the flight. Now, how much more should we anticipate, expect to meet God in worship on Sunday? Now, if the Israelites in the Old Testament, the Christians in the New Testament certainly expected to meet God, be it in the worship in the temple or when they gathered to meet and to worship the Lord. Now, how about us? Do we have the same keen sense of anticipation and expectation to meet the Lord this morning? R, remember. Now, I used to have a problem smiling naturally when posing for a photograph. My wedding photographer noticed it when I had my wedding photographs taken. So he taught me the secret of smiling naturally. Okay, I'll give it to you all free. Don't need to pay anything. The secret, happy thoughts, joyful memories, such as being praised by your teacher for good behavior or by your boss for a job well done, getting straight A's in your exams or term papers, the indescribable joy you experience on your wedding day, the overwhelming happiness of cradling your firstborn baby in your arms. If you just recall that memory, you cannot help but bring a smile to your face. You just try that for yourself. Now, in the same way, when we worship God on Sunday, as we respond to the call to worship, as we confess our sins and receive forgiveness, as we sing, and as we hear God speak to us, Do you remember how God has answered your prayers in the past week? Or perhaps do you recall how God has forgiven your sins, uncountable ones, each day? Do you thank God for being able to breathe, for waking up each morning, for the simple joys of a listening ear, a warm smile, a shared embrace? Or perhaps in the hustle and bustle of our life, we could have taken them all for granted. When we remember who the Lord is, what He has done for us, when we acknowledge God's goodness and faithfulness, the things He has given to us, His gifts to us, we cannot help but experience a deep sense of joy and gratitude when we come into the Lord's presence to worship Him. And we will express this by praising God joyfully, serving the Lord with gladness, giving thanks to Him. P, prepare. Now when our children start their first day in primary school, when we go for an interview, when we go on our first date, or perhaps could even meet the President of Singapore. In fact, for all important occasions, what will we do in advance? We prepare. We get ourselves ready by planning what to wear. We pack the things that we need. We mentally go through what will happen. Now, similarly, if the Lord is an important person in our lives, and the worship service is an important occasion, shouldn't we prepare ourselves to meet God on Sunday? Now, how do we prepare? Now, many years ago, my cell group invited our sister Hui Ling to share some tips on preparing to encounter God in worship on Sunday. Now, recently, I messaged her, actually just a few days ago, to refresh my memory on how she will prepare herself. These are some of the tips she gave. Sleep early on Saturday night. She says she cannot really remember this. Okay, read the scripture that will be preached on Sunday. Remember God's goodness for the past week. Have a sense of anticipation to meet God. Finally, pray as a family on the way to church to prepare ourselves to encounter God. Some of the preparation can take place on Saturday, while others can happen any time in the week. As I've mentioned, we worship God, we serve Him as individuals from Monday to Saturday, be it in our jobs, our studies, or even while doing housework. Our worship and service throughout the week will prepare us to meet God together as a community in worship on Sunday. Now let us encourage one another, prepare ourselves throughout the week to meet God with joyous praise on Sunday. Now why should we praise God with gusto? Verses 3 and 5 provide the reasons. Verse 3 introduces the reasons for exuberant praise with the command, no. Now the verb no doesn't simply imply head knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 to 4 shows us that to know the Lord is also to follow the Lord's commands, do His will. Here, acknowledge would be a better translation, as it implies knowledge that must be lived out, that which must be applied in our lives. There are three things we must acknowledge about the Lord. First, we should praise the Lord with gusto because He is God. There is no other God besides Him. This alone by itself is sufficient reason for praise. Now, sometimes in our pride or our success, we may think that we are independent of God, that we achieve everything by our own efforts. Now, that's a lie. Because the Lord is God, everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we have achieved comes from Him. Second, we should praise the Lord joyously because He made us. We are His. Now, the phrase "He made us" doesn't simply mean or refer to God's act of creation. We must remember that Psalm 100 was used by Israel, and so "He made us" refers to the creation of the people of the nation of Israel. God created Israel by electing Abraham. He redeemed Israel from Egypt. He brought them back from exile. The verb translated as "made" is often used for God's redemptive actions in history. In other words, when applied to us, it means that God has redeemed us. He has saved us through the death and resurrection of His precious Son, Jesus. And that's why we belong to Him. Now, as we meditate on the following quote that has been adapted from the great reformer Martin Luther, I hope that we can sense how we cannot help but be moved to praise God for what He has done. When I look at myself, I don't see how I can be saved. But when I look at Christ, I don't see how I can be lost. Now, the third reason we should praise the Lord enthusiastically is that we have a special covenant relationship with Him. We are His sheep and the sheep, and we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, as the sheep of God's pasture, the Lord is our shepherd. This reminds us of Psalm 23. He protects, He provides, He cares for all of us. Now, during my last sermon on David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, I talked about how God provided a new job for my friend Max each time he was retrenched. And he was retrenched 3 times within a short period of time. I can also share how God protected me from being blinded. Yeah, I was almost blinded in one eye when I suffered a terrible fall when I was in Durham in UK. Or perhaps how God rescued me, protected me from a terrible accident while I was driving around Newton Circus just last November. I'm sure many of you have stories, testimonies of how God has protected, provided, and cared for you. Now, verse 3 can be summarized as whose we are. In other words, it emphasizes the covenant relationship we have with God. Our covenant relationship with God is lived out from Monday to Saturday as we worship and serve Him as we worship and serve Him with gladness. Now, verse 3 reminds us that as we gather on Sunday for worship as a congregation, when we fully know and acknowledge that the Lord is God, that He has redeemed us, that He is our shepherd who protects, provides, and cares for us, and we experience this throughout the week, our response will be jubilant, joyous praise. Now, the other reason for us to praise the Lord with gusto is provided in verse 5. It emphasizes on who God is, His character. First, the Lord is good. In the Bible, the word good usually describes people or things that promote, enhance, protect, and preserve life. Everything that the Lord did for Israel and for us is life-giving and beneficial. As Old Testament scholar Marvin Tate says, God is the source of all that makes life enjoyable and worthwhile. Second, the Lord's steadfast love endures forever. This attribute of God is a common refrain that we see in Psalms. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. It is repeated in Psalms 106, 107, 118, and 136, and on and off throughout the book of Psalms. God's steadfast love towards us is the basis of His faithful acts on our behalf. Now, God's steadfast love is reinforced by the second half of verse 5, which adds, "And his faithfulness to all generations." Together, they affirm that God is completely dependable. He keeps his promises. He fulfills his plans. He never fails. Now, if we acknowledge that the Lord is God, that he has redeemed us, that he protects, cares, and provides for us. Now, when we affirm that God is good, loving, and faithful, then when we pray for help in a world in which everything seems to have gone wrong, a world torn by wars, climate crisis, and rising inflation, little do we know that what we are doing is that we challenge God. Because we who are suffering, those who are suffering, experience pain as completely opposite to the expectations that we have of a faithful God. Like the suffering psalmist in Psalm 77, some of us may sometimes wonder, has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Yet, as Rolf Jacobson highlights, that despite the psalmist's doubts, his troubles, and his sufferings, he comes back again and again to declare God's steadfast love as the basis and reason for his prayers and praises to God. Listen to the psalmist as he cries for help and he bases it on God's steadfast love. "Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love." Similarly, the penitent, repentant psalmist grounds his pleas for forgiveness on the Lord's steadfast love. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." And in the famous Psalm 23, David expresses confidence amidst the danger that he faced. "Remember the valley of the shadow of death. Because of the assurance of God's steadfast love, surely goodness and steadfast love," translated as mercy also, "shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Finally, the psalmist praises the Lord in response to his experience of God's faithfulness and steadfast love. "I've told the glad news of deliverance in a great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I've not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I've not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation." Now, because the psalmist has experienced God's steadfast love through his deliverance, through receiving forgiveness and protection in the past, he can confidently pray, ask God for it right now. We too have experienced God's steadfast love in the past, and this gives us the confidence to pray for God's help, to praise God in the present. Now, even now, amidst the troubles and suffering in the world, we catch a glimpse of God's goodness and steadfast love. We must remember that human beings, and not just Christians, are created in God's image. Therefore, whenever we see people, and not just Christians, demonstrating love, faithfulness, and kindness, we catch a glimpse of God's goodness. Now, during the COVID-19 pandemic, we see God's steadfast love in the healthcare workers' sacrificial love and service to meet the needs of the sick and dying. Amid the military coup in Myanmar, we witness God's steadfast love in Sister Anne Rose kneeling in front of police officers, pleading with them to spare the lives of children with the cry, "Shoot me instead." Now, in the face of destructive fishing practices and environmental pollution, we see God's love for creation in the reef restoration efforts to restore fish populations off the coast of Bali. Now, amid the Israel-Hamas war, we witness God's steadfast love through the healthcare workers in Gaza who refuse to abandon the sick, wounded, and those with medical needs, even in the face of death. Despite a world that has been wrecked and is continually wrecked by war, pain, and suffering, where everything seems out of control, we still see signs of God at work, demonstrations of God's character. These glimpses, together with our own experiences of God's goodness, steadfast love, and faithfulness, gives us strong grounds for believing that the Lord is God. He is sovereign, and He will fulfill His purposes for the world and for us, that He will protect, He will provide, and He will certainly care for us. Solid reasons for exuberant praise. Now, every time we praise God with gusto and with understanding, whenever we serve Him with gladness, thank the Lord for who He is and for what He has done, we testify to the world about the Lord. We are in fact witnesses, evangelists, in proclaiming that the Lord is God. He is our Shepherd King, who is good, loving, and faithful. Let us close by reading Psalm 100 together. Can I invite all of you all to rise as we read Psalm 100 together? Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to the Lord. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Reverend Dr. James, for the message. Brothers and sisters, God's love and goodness never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. While the world around us may change, our God remains faithful. He is the constant and strong foundation we can hold on to. May I invite all of you to stand as we sing this closing song, Faithful One. Sing it together. Call to you.
I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again.
You are my rock.
You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you.
I call out to you.
My hope is in you alone.
Praise be to God. Please be seated.